radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
That's
welcome
your
back
cue.
To the show. I'm Don McDonald along with Tom. Yeah, you know, I've got like 3 seconds of latency here.
Yeah, you do.
No, I really do.
Inside
it's
your
really
head.
Weird.
Oh, no. Okay, you're talking about like.
So while I try and get rid of the latency, you're stuck talking.
That's okay, because I'm good at that kind of thing. Here we are on Talking Real Money. Our telephone number is very easy. It costs nothing. And actually, if you call and ask a question, we're going to give you a free copy of Don's updated book, Financial Physics. Here's the number, 855-935-8255, 855-935-TALK. And we've talked about everything today from 401ks to getting an inheritance to should I be setting money aside in deferred comp, even though I get a very great pension, and what to do with a variable annuity I bought 12 years ago. So, but I wanted to spend a little time talking about risk. Risk.
Because, okay, you do that.
Yeah, because most people just want to talk about getting rich. I just want to make a lot of money, Don. I don't want to talk about losing it. You guys are always so negative. You just talked about how I could put this money into a house and the price of the house could go down. Well, real estate never goes down.
Yeah, I don't like thinking about going down.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, not in Seattle. It never goes down in Seattle.
Seattle's unique. It's just always up. And by the way, I've had periods of time where I lived here, and it did go down, by the way, several times. But the reason I raise this issue is because most people we talk to who either come to a class, retire meet, sit down and have a conversation, generally don't know two things. Generally don't know how much risk they're taking in their portfolio. In other words, how much in stocks, bonds, and cash. And they rarely know how much risk you need to take. What rate of return? So if we talked about last hour about CalPERS trying to make more by having money in private equity. But so I'm always fascinated when I read these studies. And this study said baby boomers heavily invested in stocks are putting retirement savings at risk.
Why?
That's I always think, well, what are they talking?
Who wrote this stupid article?
Well, it starts with a C and ends with another C.
Oh, CNBC?
There you go. Yeah.
You know, I can look across the river and see their place over there, and it's filled with a bunch of incompetence.
They claim that in 2015, 30% of IRAs, individual retirement accounts, were more than 90% invested in equities.
Well, okay, how old are these people?
Well, these are baby boomers, and they're saying, well, the next bear market comes along, you're going to lose a lot of money, you won't be able to retire. Okay, well, first of all, they don't know how much of IRAs are in banks where there are a lot of money that, sadly, that are making 1% to 2% for one thing. They don't know, they can't get in and look at 401ks, 403b, all that kind of thing, and whether people are going to rely on pensions. There's a lot of factors that go into this. No one should ever tell you how much risk you should take. That's a personal thing that is reliant on your ability to take risk, number one, and how much money you need to make and how much risk you're willing to absorb as a result of that, right?
And not necessarily based on your age.
Yes, thank you.
You may be about to retire, but you may be very comfortable taking risk.
Here's the other thing that drove me nuts. It said Roth IRA accounts for people age 65 to 84, 63% invested in stocks. Well, I think personally, because Roth is generally a smaller part of your overall holdings, probably should be more than that. Most of it should be in stocks, because you hope for a faster growth there in a Roth in a tax-free environment, right?
Well, but there again, the reality is, and this is something they never mention in these stories, it should be based on you, on your personal tolerance for and need to take risk. It's a combo. You actually have to do both. How much risk can you stand, and then how much risk do you really need to take?
Yeah, and this is another reason that I struggle a bit with the fact that now it's about, I think it's almost $6 out of every $10 in retirement company retirement plans are in target date funds, where you're saying, I'm going to retire on January 1st, 2025. So then they're going to say, okay, then you got this much in stocks and this much in bonds. They do not know you.
It's better than nothing, though.
That's true. This
it's
is what we're
better
yep.
than no plan. It's always better to have a weak plan than absolutely no plan for how you're going to manage the risk of your portfolio as you get closer and closer to needing the money.
And many times people have a 401k where they have six funds. They divide it. They put 1/6 in each one because they think that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
I've seen that a lot.
I had a friend who had like 100 choices.
Yeah.
And he was just like going to 1% there and 1% there.
That's a lot of work, by the way.
I'm going, wow, let's just simplify this. How about these two funds? Oh, there we go.
Yeah. So this is, don't ever read a study, and you've talked about this last hour, that says, here's what the market's going to do, so you should act. Number two, don't read a study that says you're this old and this much of your money should be in stocks, because they don't know. It's an individual decision you have to make, right?
Yeah. I also hate those stories that say, if you put your money into the market at the top on this day, it took you X number of years to recover. Like you only invested on the one highest price day the market ever had. That's not the way investing works. It's called, there are lies, damn lies, statistics. 855-935-TALKS, our number. Do you need a little help with your investments? Set up a free, no-obligation appointment with one of our advisors at TalkingRealMoney.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Once again, that phone number to reach the show that helps you with your dough is 855-935-TALK. I'm Don McDonald, Tom Cox over there. I'm in New York, Tom's in Seattle. I don't know how this works, but it does. It's just like magic. I can be in two places at once. I don't know how it works. Scott, you're up. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hey, Scott.
Hello.
Hey, Scott.
Hello. I have a question. Should be a quick one. I have an inherited IRA that I'm required to take a minimum distribution from, but it is in a large commercial franchise place that I'm not sure I shouldn't move it somewhere else.
Tell me, I don't understand large commercial
franchise.
Yeah,
we need to know
franchise.
More about what we're talking about.
It's in, I guess I can say it's in Edward Jones.
It's America.
Edward Jones. Okay, yeah.
Okay.
It's about $90,000.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I should just leave it alone or if I should move it someplace better.
Can you tell me what Ed Jones put you into? What kind of products?
I know there are quite a few individual stocks. I'm still kind of going through, like I said, this is an inherited IRA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I haven't really gone through all of that paperwork.
Well, let me just hit it broadly. When you're dealing with a company like Edward Jones or like Ameriprise or even like Merrill or Morgan or any of these guys, you're generally dealing with an environment of selling, of sales pressure, of giving, and this is a big mistake that's made in the, now if you're a car dealer, you give the customer what they want, great, fine. But in the investment industry, you don't give the customer necessarily what they want.
Shouldn't.
If a customer calls us and says, we want to buy a bunch of Boeing stock, we're going to say no. Whereas an Ed Jones broker.
Yeah, or what? By the way, people sometimes tell us, I don't want to be invested internationally. And we have to say,
yeah,
good luck to you.
No, you must be invested.
Yeah.
But at Ed Jones, either they're going to call their clients and say, I think you ought to buy this because it's hot. Or if you call and say, I think I should buy this, they're going to give you a reason to buy it because they want to get the commission. I think you're going to be in a better position if you have this transferred out into to another custodian, someone like Vanguard or another advisor or something, but somebody who's not sales based.
By the way, typically what we call a broker's portfolio consists of individual stocks, a few mutual funds, and sometimes something else in there they might pitch you into that starts with an A, and you hopefully not in this case.
An annuity.
Yeah, but so generally this is what we see when people have money at the brokerage accounts. So, no, we would not recommend that. If you're going to do it on your own, I would just go ahead and send you right to Vanguard. You could go to Vanguard, set up and inherited IRA. And they will be glad to move the money over. You could own a couple mutual funds there. It'll be less expensive. You'll be taking less risk than being in individual stocks.
Now, is that something I can do to some sort of tax-deferred account?
You could do an inherited IRA, so it maintains its tax deferral. And let me tell you,
move it to a Vanguard or something.
Correct.
You got it. Here's what you do. It's so easy. You go to either go to Vanguard's website or give them a call on their 800 number. Tell them you have an inherited IRA and you want to transfer it over. They will have you send them the account information and they will bring the assets over. They will get them liquidated, bring them over, and then get them invested as per your instructions.
Okay. I think that
and they'll stay tax deferred.
That sounds good. And I think you've answered my question.
Thanks, Scott, for your call. Yes, and again, people sometimes are missing when it is an inherited IRA. Once the money's moved from the decedent's account into your inherited IRA at that same custodian, you can move it to any other custodian and without any tax consequence. You just simply open an inherited IRA account at that other custodian. Money, as you said, Don, would move over, could be reinvested in a way that would be quite dissimilar from the way generally we see it at Edward Jones. No, it is.
That's an understatement. Individual stocks, a $90,000 account.
Really?
With individual stocks.
Yeah.
Okay, $100 million account with individual stocks.
Okay.
Yeah. I can see it because you got some diversification.
And you could get in private equity if you have $100 million.
Right.
You could get in. There's a healthcare firm out in Silicon Valley that is going to change the world. One small prick of your finger.
Excuse me, sir.
They have a machine. It's 200 tests.
You're behind. Already broke. They're bankrupt.
I just was reading.
They're out of business.
This woman is super sharp.
Sorry.
She's got George Shultz.
Oh, no.
She's got Henry Kissinger. She's got General
remember
McCafferty.
She used to be a... Well, are you thinking she's still a billionaire? Is that what you're thinking?
She's worth like $9 billion or something.
Yeah, no. She has a negative net worth now, sir.
Oh, God.
Forgot to mention that.
They called me earlier.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, she's worth less than nothing.
That's really upsetting.
Actually worth less than nothing. And wait, there's more.
Oh.
If you really liked her, well, you better get used to corresponding with her in prison. Because that's probably where she's going next.
She's been indicted for fraud. Yes, I'm having fun. It's Elizabeth Holmes. I finally watched the documentary.
Oh, you were being facetious again.
Yeah, thank you for allowing me that. And that documentary is worth watching, if only, by the way, if only for seeing how special people think that they're really smart about the future. They don't know any more than you do. Sorry to say. By the way, they had a guy in there that said, I got in early on Facebook. I got in early. And I talked to Danielle. I said, he doesn't
Danielle's his wife, for those of you who don't know.
He doesn't mention the 150 other deals he got in early on where it went to zero. Because it's a crapshoot. They don't know any more than anybody else.
And the thing is the one you got right and you did well on is the one you tell your friends about.
Bingo.
You don't tell them about the bad ones.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm a terrible investor. Everything I buy just falls apart. Don't take any advice from me. I'm stupid when it comes to investing. That's the vast majority of the population, by the way. And I know you don't want to think that you're stupid when it comes to anything. But let me tell you, you can't be the best at everything. Pick something you're actually good at and brag about that.
I'm hoping in my 60s I'll find that. So I'm waiting.
Yeah. Reffing? Oh,
yeah,
except the other team.
Yeah,
the other team always hates you.
No,
I don't know
teams.
What you're good at. Or both teams.
Yeah, well, then you know you're doing everything right.
Well, what he does is he actually now has Post-it yellow cards, just big, thick pad of them, and he just runs around sticking them on the backs of guys.
It's easier
yellow
that
card,
way.
Yellow
it's
card.
It's easier that way. Yeah, it's high school season again, and I'm told how wrong I am very often now, so it's every day.
That has got to be really tough on your ego, isn't it?
I've done it for a long time. It's like anything. Yeah, okay, got it. So it's okay.
Yeah, heard it. Okay, you're all right with it.
I told somebody recently, you got to do better than that. I've heard that before.
I've been yelled at by better people than you.
You got to do better. So anyway.
855-935-TALK. We want you to call that number so that we can help you understand how money works and how it can work a lot harder for you and less hard for all of those other people. Sorry, we're not here to help the brokerage firms. We're not here to help the insurance companies. We're here to help the yous. The yous who don't get enough help. 855-935-TALK. It's free, it's easy, and we're going to help you even more with a free copy of Financial Physics mailed out to you in a few weeks, so call now.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Do you know what your investment risk tolerance is? Take our free no-obligation risk quiz at talkingrealmoney.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
Because it's a huge part of your life. I'm Don McDonald out in New York City. And by the way, I want to brag a little. I went and saw my niece in her final high school musical. Last year, she won this big award in the Northeast called the Roger Reese Award. And she was a finalist for the Jimmy Awards, which are the Tony Awards for high school performers. This young lady, you got to watch Broadway for Alyssa McDonald. This girl, she's amazing.
Good.
She's
gonna be good. Congratulations. Yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah. I know. Well, she's got her father is a Broadway actor, my brother, and her mother was a Rockette.
So,
how can you fail with that kind of gene pool?
Runs like something through the McDonald family there.
Well, and her mom's. Yeah. Let's go to the phones. 855-935-TALKS. The number, Kelly, you're up. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Kelly.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
So my question is in regards to saving. So I have, let's see, for retirement and such, I feel like I'm doing okay. I'm maxing out a Roth IRA for myself and for my wife, and pretty close to maxing out what I can do for the 401k. But I have a little bit of extra money that I make, and I'm kind of waffling between put it towards my mortgage payment, like extra payments on principal only, or what I've been doing for the last year or so is putting it into the market in some index funds that are tracking with S&P 500 or with the NASDAQ.
And what is the interest rate of your index? What is the interest rate of your mortgage?
Just over 3%. It's 3.8%.
I want your mortgage. I want your mortgage. If I had your mortgage, I would never pay off your mortgage.
Yeah, I mean, that is such a low interest rate that we would expect, pretty easy math to do, that saving the money in those index funds would make you more over time than paying down that 3% early.
It certainly has over the past almost 100 years, according to all the data. You would have almost any time period too, by the way. You know, any 10-year period, you would have beaten the tar out of your mortgage.
Okay, and that's what I convinced myself, and so that's what I've been doing. I guess I just wanted some kind of outside confirmation.
Paying off your mortgage early generally is more a good emotional decision because you feel good about it. Oftentimes, not such a great financial decision is how I'd put it.
Okay. I think that makes sense.
Thank you, Kelly. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Congratulations.
That was my question. Thanks so much.
Thank you for being such a great saver. Well done.
And you know you have a good mortgage rate when your mortgage rate is close to what you can get on a 5-year CD.
That's pretty
funny. I mean, there are 5-year CDs earning a bit over 3% now. You could arbitrage almost. You could get a good bond and make more than your mortgage. Gene, you're up next. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hello, Gene.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure. How can we help you?
I'm looking for a little bit of financial advice. I'm 67 years old. I recently inherited about $300,000, which is all the money I have in the world, besides the equity in my home. My mortgage is about $330 a month. I owe about $38,000 on my mortgage. Mm-hmm. My income from Social Security is $1,000 a month.
And how much do you need to sustain? I mean, other than your mortgage, what other costs do you have to pay every month?
All the typical household expenses, I suppose they're about $700 or $800 a month when you add in your utilities and insurance and such.
What's the interest rate on your mortgage? Do you know?
It's about 4.5
4.5 That's pretty good. Although you're not going to beat it by much. Tell you what, we need to. We're going to take a moment to mull this over a little bit because we want to be very careful and very thoughtful about the money. To get it probably, I would imagine, and we'll ask you this after the break, I would imagine you want to generate a little more income off of that to have a little bit better life and not put the principal at much, if any, risk. We'll be back.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Tom and I believe in helping everybody become a better investor. That's why we offer lots of free knowledge at TalkingRealMoney.com.
We're talking real money.
Hi, welcome back to the show. I'm Don McDonald along with Tom Koch, and we are talking with Gene at 855-935-TALK about a $300,000 inheritance she received. She's 67 years old, has a mortgage at about 4.5% that's $38,000 with a $330 a month payment. Sure, her living expenses, we're figuring roughly $1,200 or so a month is what where it looks like she is. And Gene, we've really been thinking a lot about this. We don't believe in having portfolios absolutely 100% safe because you will not do well. You won't keep up with inflation in many cases. So here's what and we talked about this. Tom and I talked about this. And first, really, at 4.5%, that's a good rate on your money. Are you going to stay in this house for a long time?
You know, I probably will. I'm a little bit undecided. It's an older home, and I have visions of getting into something a little bit newer someday. So we'll see.
That's an important consideration because one of our parts of our plan was perhaps paying off the mortgage with some of this money you took in, because then it would reduce your cost to some extent.
Actually, see, by paying off the mortgage with that, you are now officially living within your means. The cost of living is within your $1,000 a month that you get from Social Security, which gives you a high degree of safety and certainty, which is kind of nice. And that's why we want to know if that is important. Then the other thing with the money that's left, the approximately $250,000 or so, we'd like to see you put some of that in something that has some growth potential to keep your head above the inflation waters.
You could go to Vanguard.com, open in just a regular account, their regular brokerage account, and maybe take, I don't know, 10, 15% of the money, $30,000 or so, and put it in a stock fund. We usually recommend the Vanguard Total World Stock Index, VTWAX. Then the rest of it you could put in, and this would be the part where it gets trickier. You could use a bond fund, you could use a money market, something like that that really isn't making much, but it's there every day.
Yeah, what I'm thinking is you take a year's worth, like $12,000, which is your yearly income, and you put that in a money market account that is absolutely liquid. You can get at it any day. Find one that has the highest yield at bankrate.com. And then that leaves you with $250,000. Put somewhere around $25,000 to $50,000 into that growth-oriented fund Tom was talking about, VTWAX. And then the rest, I think you'd be very happy, and it'd be a lot easier if you just put it in the Vanguard Total Bond Index Fund.
Which, now you're going to remind me that I need the ticker again because we did through this earlier in the show. I got it now.
I can't get my computer on.
Here we go. VBMFX. VBMFX.
Ooh,
that's the Vanguard Total Bond Index. So now you've got the living, you've paid off the mortgage. You've got the living expenses covered for the next 12 months should you have a problem. And you've got some growth by being in the Vanguard Total World Fund. And then the rest of the money's in something that we would expect to make, I don't know, 3 to 4% a year over a long period of time, but kind of stays right there with inflation.
And historically, a 10 to 15% portfolio in equities with the rest in bonds has had, historically, since the 70s, no worse a return in a single year than about a 5% loss, which is very, very low. And for most people, incredibly tolerable.
Yeah. So I hope that helps, Gene, and we wish you well. And thank you for calling. Yeah, it's great. So
855-935-TALKS, our telephone number. Copy of Financial Physics coming your way in a few weeks. And just for calling in and asking a question. And Bill, you're next. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hey, Bill.
Hello.
Hey.
This is Bill.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I've got a couple of questions. One, I applied for Social Security because I was told I'm on an LNI, Department of Disabilities, pension. And I was told that I would have to, they would deduct every dollar I got from Social Security out of that pension. Then I'd have to pay tax on it, where my pension, disability pension, I don't pay any tax on at all. It's tax-free.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard that?
Well,
that they,
well
they
wait,
deduct?
Wait, wait. No, now Social Security may be taxable.
Right. What kind, what kind of taxable. That's why I haven't applied for it, because I'd have to pay taxes. See, they'd take, I think it's about,
well, it depends.
$2,000, a little over $2,000 a month I'd be getting from Social Security.
Yeah.
And I'd lose $2,000 a month out of my...
Oh, they're going to reduce your pension, yeah, by the amount of your Social Security, and then your Social Security becomes taxable. Part of it could be taxable. It probably won't be, though.
It depends on the income level.
At your bracket, it's probably not going to be much of anything. But since you have that disability pension, I don't know how old you are, but I would wait until the very last minute so that it grows by 8% per year, and then don't take it until you're 70 years old. At that point, you probably, again, the security of Social Security is probably a little higher than the pension, but I don't know that for a fact.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Just about everything you need to know about money can be found at our website, talkingrealmoney.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Hi, welcome back to the show. This is Talking Real Money, the program designed specifically to help you avoid all kinds of financial problems, particularly with those people who manage investments and sell things to you. Oh, they can make you nuts, and they can make you poor too. Give us a call, 855-935-TALK. By the way,
yes,
if you don't make it into the show, you can still call your questions in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I'll answer those during the weekday podcast, which you can find at Talking Real Money or via your favorite podcast service.
Wow, that was a lot of information, and I hope I got some of it. Probably not.
855-935-TALK is our number. Probably not. Sam, you're up next. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hello, Sam.
Oh, hey, thank you very much. Thank you for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
Okay, my question today, what is the difference between me doing online CDs where I'm getting 2.75 in a year for a year CD, as opposed to doing the bond funds, where the bond funds have been going down as the interest rates have been going up? Can you explain the logistics there?
By the way, I just looked at this number this morning because I was curious. Intermediate term bond fund operated by Dimensional Funds has made about 0.7% a year this year, so far this year. It did lose a little bit of money last year. And we need to always be careful when we say interest rates are going anywhere. They've gone, so in any investment. So that aside, why would you put money in a bond fund is your question when I can get 2.7% a year guaranteed in a CD?
Yep.
That's your question.
That's the question.
Yeah, that's the question. That's the question. All right, that's a good question.
One of the biggest reasons is the bond fund will keep you at a market rate, because we're talking about intermediate term bonds. We are not talking about going way out long. One of the nice things, even though the net asset value may decline in periods of rising interest, it's not in an intermediate bond fund with like a 5-year duration. The prices are going to fluctuate very little up or down because they are constantly selling off they're getting rid of maturing bonds, and they're buying new bonds at the new higher interest rate. So, for example, in the Vanguard Total Bond Index right now, the yield is about 3%. So you're getting a slightly higher yield, but you're going to have some volatility in principal. For most people, that volatility of principal is not going to be a big deal because they're in the bond fund to, one, get an income, and that income helps offset some of that. And two, it's to help balance a total portfolio to just keep it less volatile, somewhere where they have some equity in the portfolio.
If you look at the longer term, And because people get caught up in kind of what's it done lately. Yeah, I know bond funds had a tough year, stock and bond funds in 2018. But if you look, step back and look at a longer period of time, 48 years, intermediate term bonds have done very handsomely. Now, rates were a lot higher, I get it, in the late 70s, 80s that provided a higher yield when inflation was higher. But generally, over time, I would expect an intermediate term bond to have a greater yield and in some ways to provide pretty good liquidity because you can sell and get your money anytime. And even in periods of time when rates do go up, Vanguard did a very well thought about study here a few years ago that found even under those circumstances, you've got your money back and actually made money in about a 3-year period. So it's a pretty good term.
And you said bond funds didn't do so well last year, but over the past 12 months, according to Morningstar, past 12 months, the Vanguard Total Bond Index has returned total return of 4.5%.
Is that helpful, Sam?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I mean, you raise a very good point. Yeah, you raise a good point.
Yeah, but I've been retired for 3 years, and I want to thank Don for 3 years of good sleep because of me listening to him. No,
thank
great
you.
Sleep.
Thank you. I'm so happy to hear that.
That's very kind.
That is heartening. Thank you, Sam. I appreciate it. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Don promises the check will be there by the first, too, by the way. I think he said that.
I will send it out.
Now, please make sure that gets in the
mail. No, in fact, I'm looking back at the Vanguard Total Bond Index, and it has not. It's posted positive returns over 1-year periods, 3-year periods, 5-year periods.
Okay, I think it lost a little in 2018. But
it's recovered. It was only toward the end, and it's recovered every bit of that.
Okay.
Because there are so many bonds in the portfolio. That's the other thing.
Buying new higher rates.
It is massively diversified. It's just
People get caught up in this thing called recency.
Yeah.
What's happened lately is going to keep happening. We have no idea.
Our brain plays tricks on
indeed
us.
Indeed it does. We've got another call. Should we jump to it real quick?
Yeah. 855-935-TALKS, the number. Holly, you're next. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Holly?
Yeah?
Hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
We do.
Okay. I have just a situation I guess I need some advice on. I'm 62 and a half, still working, and I've got about $50,000 saved. My house is paid for. I basically owe nothing, and I'm spending about maybe $700 a month to live with utilities and all expenses. So I'm planning to work... I guess till 66 or so, and I can save about $50,000 each year up until then. What do I do with my money?
Well, can you save it into a retirement account?
You know, I went to one of the, like, Edward Jones or something.
No, don't go there.
Well, I was a little uncomfortable because I really felt like I was at a used car lot, you know?
Yes, you did. That's kind of like that. It's a sales pitch.
Okay, no, but I was asking you, at your place of work, do you have a retirement account you could put money into?
Well, and that's the thing. I work part-time because I get full medical, dental, and vision, and a very small retirement. It's not really, I think it's only $1,300 as of now. I've had my own janitorial business for about 12 years, and so I'm on my own with all the
That's how you're able to save so much money, is that's where you're getting enough money to put away $50,000 a year. Now, here's the trick, and Holly, this really is, it boils down to this for everyone. It is a matter of the level of risk you're willing to take to build your assets up to a higher level. Now, as it stands right now, if you, for the next 3 years, can put $50,000 a year away, when you retire at 66, you're going to have $200,000. I don't know where you live, what country you live in, where you can have total expenses of only $700 a month to live.
Congratulations.
But I want to come to your country.
Yeah, I want to live with you, actually, if you don't mind.
I live in Washington.
She's paid off her house, she said.
Yeah, I know, but $700 a month for anybody, I'm just...
We're impressed. Very impressed.
We're impressed. Anyway.
Only $130, $150 a month.
Oh, love
it. I don't have any other expenses except utilities and, you know, food, whatever.
Okay, so then you're going to live on is what Don's getting to. You're going to live on the $200,000 plus Social Security, basically.
But I think, gosh, shouldn't I do something with that money to
yes.
make it more?
You were just getting to that.
My answer to you, is going to be very, very similar to the answer I gave to Gene. First, I would max out your Roth IRA every year. Do that first.
She could do a SEP IRA as well.
She could with the with the money, and that's going to give her some tax deferral. I would, though, at least have 10, 15, maybe 20% in the Vanguard Total World Stock Index.
Yeah, I think that's good advice.
The rest in the bond index, maybe a little in a money market for rainy days.
And come to my class on April 24th, the Science of Retirement Income, because I'm going to be talking about this exact same thing.
You did.
You sign up at TalkingRealMoney.com.
You set that call up, didn't you?
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Would you like to talk to a real investment advisor for free? Set up an appointment at TalkingRealMoney.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
Actually, all kidding aside, Tom had a great point for Holly and all of you who called in trying to figure out how to create the best income in retirement. That's exactly what Tom's Lunch Ed class is about, coming up on the 24th of April. It's just $10 a seat, and that price includes a really nice lunch. You'll get a class, you'll walk away much better informed than you were, and, you know, $10. And there are only 16 seats available, and none of them is sold so far, so you're in good shape if you go to TalkingRealMoney.com. TalkingRealMoney.com.
We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for educational and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future. So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Vestory, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. That's a wrap.